Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. If the United States ends up hosting the 2024 Summer Olympics, the Games will not be held in Boston. Just a few hours ago, the U.S. Olympic Committee and Boston 2024 organizers announced that they're pulling the plug on the Boston Olympics bid. The USOC said the bid was sound and would have benefited Boston for decades to come, but it cited the inability to get public support of Bostonians behind the proposal as the main reason for dropping it. It said, "We're out of time." Joining us now for more on the failure of the Olympics bid is David Walachinsky. He's president of the International Society of Olympics Historians and joins us on the phone live from Provence, France. David, you said back in January when the USOC first selected Boston that the city had something of an uphill battle to be successful with the Olympics bid. Is this at all a surprise for you then?
No, it's not a surprise, particularly because there were a couple awkward moments. One, there seemed to be a lack of professionalism in the first group of organizers. They didn't seem to really appreciate the international environment that they were going to be bidding against. But the second thing, the real damaging thing for me, I know we're all talking about the polling, but it was really the lack of transparency, the fact that the public version of the bid, which was put on the internet, said that there was no public financing, and then it turned out that the version that had been submitted to the United States Olympic Committee said that there would be public financing. So the question was, why would you, you know, hide this from the, not only from the taxpayers of Massachusetts, but what was the United States Olympic Committee doing keeping mum about this when they knew that this wasn't true?
Well, to be fair, the Boston 2024 organizers did submit a second version that made more clear what their intent was.
Yeah, but that was the second version. It was a little late in the game to be submitting that version.
So how damaging do you think that was? I mean, you think transparency, how damaging do you think it was? You're saying transparency was one of the major downfalls of the bid?
Yes, and well, okay, let me put it to you another way, that there, you know, when you know, the people who vote on the Olympics, it's not a public vote, it's 100 people from around the world. And they have two feelings about the United States. One has to do with, say, the Los Angeles Olympics of 1984, the Salt Lake City of 96, Salt Lake City of 2002. These are good feelings, well-organized, things went well. Then they have another feeling, which is 1996 Atlanta, which was, from the international perspective, a disaster, and it was done by people who seemed to be inexperienced and not transparent. And from the very beginning, the Boston bid sounded a lot more like Atlanta than it did like Los Angeles and Salt Lake City from the IOC voters' point of view, and that was a problem.
So what would you say that Boston organizers could have and should have done to be more successful?
I think they should have been more open to the public. They should have engaged the public early on, even before, way more than they did early on before they submitted to the United States Olympic Committee. And it seemed like they really didn't get going on it until after they'd already received the nod from the USOC. And it would have helped a lot if they had started earlier with more of a public outreach than they actually did.
By the way, what happens in terms of other Olympics host cities and in terms of the funding? So in this case, Boston was very worried about the possibility that city taxpayers would have to pick up the cost for any overruns. The federal government was only going to be helping in terms of money for security. What happens in other countries?
In other countries, well, you have a whole range. For example, we're about to see a vote in the next few days on who will get the not the next Winter Olympics, but the one after that. And the two countries that are left in the running, China and Kazakhstan, are both dictatorships. So you don't have to worry about federal financing from those two countries. It will be totally controlled by the federal government. In terms of democracies, if Toronto bids from Canada, Paris, France, there's a very strong support here in France where I am now. They're going to want to know, is the government going to be behind this? Will they back it up financially? And probably the answer in these countries is yes.
In terms of where the USOC goes now, L.A., as you mentioned, hosted the Olympics back in 1984. They went well. Is the logical move now for the USOC to go back to L.A.?
Yes, I would think so. I think that, you know, the voters at the IOC probably have a good feeling toward L.A. They have a good feeling toward San Francisco as well. But Los Angeles has more of the venues in place. I think as Anita de France, who's a vice president of the IOC and an American, as she said, Los Angeles could be ready in 2 years, and we don't need seven. And I think at this point that's a big selling point with the USOC.
So one more question, David. You are going to the IOC meeting in Malaysia tomorrow. Is that correct?
Yes.
How do you expect Boston, and now the fact that the bid has been pulled, Boston to be portrayed there?
In the past?
In the past?
Yeah.
Meaning being past tense.
They'll be looked at as something that is over. And I think that from the IOC point of view, they'll be looking to see what the USOC does next.
And in terms of Boston having lost the bid, any kind of residual effect on the reputation of the city or not?
Not necessarily, because, you know, Boston, you know, hopefully has learned some lessons and, you know, can, I would say if I were, you know, Boston sports fans, I would be wanting to host a lot of international events. Obviously, the marathon's great. But, you know, you start bidding to do the world this championship, the world that championship, even of minor sports, which are Olympic sports. Maybe you want to have the world archery championships or the world, you know, rowing. You know, you want to do more and more of those events so that, you know, the IOC members and the international sports community gets used to Boston as an international venue.
Thank you. David Walachinsky, president of the International Society of Olympic Historians. Nice to speak with you.
Thank you very much.